Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Chris Holland, pastor of the Battle Creek Seventh-day Adventist Tabernacle. And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, there is indeed something about that name. And it's not just any something, but the something that makes the name of Jesus all that it is that he is your son. He is our Savior. He is the Messiah, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Today, as we come to celebrate the power of his name, help us to remember there is power in that name, and help us to never forget. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I would like you to open your Bibles to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Isaiah chapter 43. The responsive reading today came from a selection of Isaiah 43. And as I was considering and contemplating the scripture reading for this week and looking at the verses of Isaiah 43, I simply came to the conclusion that it would be best to read the entire chapter. And so I'll be reading Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. And I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am He, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hands. I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and have wearied me with your iniquities. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Your first father sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary. I will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. The prophet Isaiah, through the book of Isaiah, in particular the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, are filled with reproof. Filled with reproof because of what Israel had done. But in chapter 40, there is a transition, and it is why many people call Isaiah the gospel prophet. Chapter 40 through the concluding chapter of the book of Isaiah are filled with hope and promise of the Redeemer and restoration. And in this chapter in particular, and as we come to the communion table, there are 8 promises, 1 problem, and the ultimate solution. What are the 8 promises that come from this chapter? First, the Bible says, and God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. The word redeemed is rooted in the Old Testament concept of the repurchase of a field or a person who has sold themselves into slavery. It was a selling in a time of need, and it was then the responsibility of the redeemer kinsman to pay a price, a higher price than what was paid for the slave or the property to redeem it. But in addition, the redeeming of the firstborn animal or portions of property that were deemed to be the Lord's required redemption. But then there is this same word, redeemer, which is also translated avenger. Some of you are familiar with the Old Testament concept of the avenger of blood. It is the one responsible that if a life had been taken, this individual was responsible to go and take the life of someone else who had taken the life of their kinsman. A life for life. But rooted at the very core of this word redeemer is God, the redeemer who stands up for his people. And we see here in Isaiah 43 that Jesus, through his perfect life, through his terrible death, his powerful resurrection, and his essential ascension into heaven, redeemed us. He repurchased each of us who have sold ourselves into slavery. He has and is avenging life by taking and stealing the power and life of Satan. But not only that, he is standing for us. And so when we come to this table here today, this table, this service commemorates that Jesus is our Redeemer. He has, is, and will redeem us. The second promise of Isaiah 43 is this: I have called you by name. That word called is the word used in Genesis chapter 2 that is utilized for Adam naming all of the animals. You see, Jesus, God, knows us. He does not just know of us. He knows us by name. He is responsible for naming us. He knows you. He knows me. And he has called us by name to experience his redeeming power. This table is a memorial to the fact that God knows your name and he calls you by your name. If that were not enough, the third promise is that God says, you are mine. This emphasizes that each and every one of us is God's child. You are a child of God. I am a child of God. He created us. He formed us. He knows us. We are his. And because of this promise, God says that we can pass through the waters of uncertainty and we know that he is with us. We can go through the rivers of turmoil that are surrounding us because he is with us. And when the fires of trial and tribulation persecute us, he is with us. And the reason he is with us is because we are his. And so when we come to this table celebrates that we are his. The fourth promise is found again in Isaiah 43. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. The word precious, literally, to be prized and esteemed. God calls you precious. You are a prized possession of God. You are esteemed by God. And because of that, you have value beyond measure. So much value that is, if you were the only one to be saved on this earth, Christ still would have come and died for you. You have infinite value in the sight of God. He honors you. The word honor literally means to carry great weight with the abundance of riches. That's how God views you. And I would remind you that Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Even when we had not yet come to Christ, we have great value in His sight. You are God's. He died for you. He gave up His life for you and for me. And so when we come to this table symbolizes the value and honor that Christ bestows upon you as an individual. The fifth promise from Isaiah 43 is that the Bible says, I have loved you. God loves you. The word love in Hebrew has far-reaching meanings, but at its center and in this context, it represents God's infinite affection for each and every one of us. God delights in you. He delights in each of us. The prophet Jeremiah says that God has loved us with an everlasting love. This table represents the love that Jesus had for us and has for us by giving up His body and His blood. The next promise of Isaiah 43 is this: fear not, for I am with you. The Bible is filled with this promise. Joshua 1:9, Isaiah 41:10. In the book of Deuteronomy, God is with us. No matter what you face, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God is with you. That is the promise of the Scriptures. So often we want God to deliver us from our problem. So often we want God to deliver us from our tribulation. But more often than not in the Scriptures, God does not deliver us from our tribulation, but rather He is with us and walks through that tribulation with us. This is evidenced in the three Hebrew boys. They were thrown into the fire. They were not delivered from the fire. They were thrown into the fire. And there in the fire was a fourth man, one who looked like the Son of God, Jesus Himself, standing in the fire with the three Hebrew worthies. God is with us. He is with us through whatever we face. This table draws our mind to the promise, God is with us. The next promise of Isaiah 43 is this: I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. We live in a world that is filled with, quote-unquote, saviors, champions. Oh, we don't call them that, but the amount of time we take listening or watching to them, trusting whatever comes out of their mouth just because they happen to have a YouTube channel and a camera to record themselves and a microphone to record their sound. Like Goliath, they are our champion. The Bible is clear, there is only one Savior. And not only is this an Old Testament promise of Isaiah 43, but Acts chapter 4 is quite clear. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. God is God alone. There is no other name. That is why this table is exclusive, and this is what I mean. This is not a buffet table. This isn't a buffet table with all kinds of selections. No, there is the body and blood of Christ. That is it. There is not a smorgasbord of options. And this is why Jesus himself said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Unleavened bread, unfermented juice, bread representing the perfect body, juice, unfermented juice representing the perfect blood of Christ, both of them together representing the perfect sacrifice. There is no other Savior, exclusive. No king can save you. No president can save you. No preacher can save you. No YouTube content creator can save you. No counselor can save you. No, the Bible is clear. Jesus and him alone can save us. This table remembers and emphasizes that Jesus is our Savior and there is no other. The eighth promise of Isaiah 43 is this: do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. You see, if we cling to all of these promises, if we cling to each and every promise here in Isaiah 43, we are no longer identified with our sin. We don't need to remember our sin. We don't need to consider the things of old, because God will do a new thing as we let go of the former things. He will bring about a new life where there has been death. He will bring about a new life for all of us. He will make you new. He will do a new thing. And that is what this table signifies. God has, God is, and God will do a new thing in us. But sadly, Isaiah 43 records a problem. And it is the same problem today as it was for Israel of old. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. See, God has called us by name. God called Israel by name. And they did not answer the call. They brought no sacrifice. And instead of letting go of the former things, they clinged to their sin. They held on to their burdens. And they wearied God by their continual sinning. But praise the Lord, he does not leave us in such condition. There is a solution to that problem. And the solution comes in verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case, that you may be acquitted. The word blot means to be expunged, to wipe out. It is the same word used by God to describe what he was going to do to the earth when he brought a worldwide flood and he would blot out humanity from the earth. To blot out means to completely destroy. All land-dwelling living things were destroyed in the flood. And that is what God wants to do and will do in your life with all of your sins. He will destroy them utterly, that you will no longer have sin in your life as you yield and submit to Him. All that is required is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the promise of God is that as He blots out our sin, He will remember them no more. And there is a tension in the text. He will not remember our sins, but He asks us to remember and remember one thing, to remember Him. He will not remember our sins. We are to remember Him. And the Bible says, contend with Him. That word contend is a very interesting word. Literally means to argue your case with Him together. How do you argue your case with God? You have nothing to offer. How do you argue your case with God? 1 John 2:1 tells you how you argue your case with God. My little children, I write these things to you that ye might not sin. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. How do you contend with God? Because Jesus, your advocate, stands by your side. You have nothing to offer. He, the Redeemer, the Savior, He is the one who has everything to offer. As He stands before His Father and He says, this one right here, she is mine. When we confess our sins, God is on our side. He contends with us and He acquits us. Literally, the word translated means to be made justified, to be righteous, to be made right. This is what this table commemorates. This table ultimately commemorates that God makes us right, that God makes us righteous. As Isaiah said early in his book, though our sins may be as scarlet, He makes them white as snow. It symbolizes what God has done, what He is doing, and what He will do in the future. This table is vital because just as God does not remember our sin, we are to remember. We are to remember Him and what He has done. I want to close with a passage from the book, The Great Controversy, because there is further tension. The desire of God is that He would blot out your sins. But if we are unwilling to allow Him to blot out our sin, there is a different type of blotting that will take place. Ezekiel 33, the Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death or the destruction of the wicked. God has done everything. He has called. And our only responsibility is to answer, to submit, to confess, to repent, to be forgiven, and be acquitted. We are living in the final hours of Earth's history. And as I see what's happening in the church, I am concerned because there is a lot of taking of sides right now. My dear friends, I have zero interest in standing on the side of any human being. I simply want to stand on the Lord's side. He is the only one who can resolve this. Great Controversy, page 483, and I will conclude with this. As the books of record are opened in the judgment, the lives of all who have believed on Jesus come in review before God. Beginning with those who first lived upon the earth, our advocate presents the cases of each successive generation and closes with the living. Every name is mentioned, every case is closely investigated. Names are accepted, names rejected. When any have sins remaining upon the books of record, unrepented of and unforgiven, their names will be blotted out of the book of life, and the record of their good deeds will be erased from the book of God's remembrance. The Lord declared to Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, he will I blot out of my book." And says the prophet Ezekiel, "When the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, all his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned." All who have truly repented of sin and by faith claimed the blood of Christ as their atoning sacrifice have had pardoned entered against their names in the books of heaven, as they have become partakers of the righteousness of Christ, and their characters are found to be in harmony with the law of God, their sins will be blotted out, and they themselves will be accounted worthy of eternal life. The Lord declares by the prophet Isaiah, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." As we have come to this communion table, may each of us trust in the one who blots out our sins and does not remember them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And your desire is that every man, woman, and child would come to repentance, that their sins would be blotted out, and that the times of refreshing would come. Today, as we celebrate this communion service, Father in heaven, may we trust fully in your Son, Jesus Christ, that though our sins be as scarlet, that they would be made white as snow, as our advocate blots out that sin, and we are acquitted. May we be a people who trust in your Son, Jesus, and may we be a people that go and tell the world about him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Chris Holland, pastor of the Battle Creek Seventh-day Adventist Tabernacle. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit his church this Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Battle Creek Tabernacle at 264 West Michigan Avenue in Battle Creek, and their church service begins at 10:40 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.